my momentum series was interrupted with having COVID. You know, I had it back in October, and then I had the Omicron version, which was really short-lived, but it was what it was. And then the weather last week was such that we felt like that, you know, I wanted to maximize the opportunity for as many people as possible to hear the message that I want to share to our church family. And very excited to share it with you. And so what I want to do is I want to take some time to kind of let you reflect a little bit on what God did this past year. I want to give you some specific examples. And then where we're going. And I'm giving a big ask of our church, a big commitment that I believe God is leading us to make. And so I'll share that in a few moments. So what is the state of the church? What is the state of our church? Well, there's several things that I want to highlight. Number one is attendance. You're going to think, oh man, here it comes, starting right out the gate. Well, let me kind of tell you what's happened and how I want to challenge you and encourage you. That, as you know, COVID has prevented a lot of people from coming, but we've noticed over the last year, from January to this past December, that our growth month by month has been increasing very steadily. More and more people are coming back, and based on what I'm hearing and reading, that the Omicron virus part of COVID should peak out at the end of this month or in February. And hopefully there'll be a significant decline where those who are still uncomfortable coming, which I understand that they'll be back. But church attendance is important. Let's talk about church attendance without COVID in mind, about the value of church attendance. I read an article this about 2 weeks ago, actually, November of 2021 is when the article came out, just a few months ago. The title of the article, listen carefully, "The Public Health Crisis No One Is Talking About," by two researchers from Harvard University. They state in the article that in 2019, Gallup reported 36% Americans viewed organized religion with a great deal of confidence, 36%. In 1975, it was 68%. They said that Barna Group in 2011 said that, or in 2011, 43% went to church every week. This past February, or February 2020, pre-COVID, 29% attended every week. Now, there are various reasons why people don't attend church. Look, I'm not talking about legalism. You know, there are times that you have to be gone. I have to be gone. We all know that. I was gone. So we all know that. But there's a great value in it. But why are people not coming? Well, habits have changed. That new habits are being formed where church attendance just isn't valued anymore. People are living their faith so privately, they don't feel like they need to attend church. Well, what's the result? It's bad news for the church, but it's bad news for the individual. They say in the article that it's created a public health, not a church, but a public health crisis for children, for teenagers, and for adults. Quote, "Our findings aren't unique. A number of large, well-designed research studies have found that religious service attendance is associated with less depression, less suicide, less substance abuse, better cancer and cardiovascular disease survival, less divorce, greater social support, greater meaning in life, greater life satisfaction, more volunteering, and greater civic engagement." Now, church attendance doesn't make you a Christian. It doesn't have anything to do with that. It's a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the work of Christ on the cross and in His resurrection. But church attendance will benefit you and your family mentally, emotionally, socially. It's going to have a major impact. It will help you experience the abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10. The fact is, Jesus practiced this. In Luke 4, the Bible says, "As usual," or as was his custom, "he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath day. He went to church every week." The writer of Hebrews says, "And let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So I want to encourage you to be as regular as you can in church attendance. And the only reason I'm sharing that is that it helps you grow in your faith as you're trying to become a committed follower of Christ, and it's going to have immediate impact and long-term impact on your family. So I want to encourage you to do what you can to be faithful in church attendance. Secondly, I want to talk about the finances of our church for just a few moments. This past year, in December, this last month, that our church gave $364,000 in one month. The requirement for that month was $179,000. Now that is unbelievable. In fact, it's the largest giving during one month in the history of our church. This past year, for the total budget, you gave $2,442,000 against a budget of $2,333,000. The fact is that what you gave last year, you already have given $44,000 beyond this year's required budget for 2022. And so we're very excited. The net result after expenses, I found out just late this week, is that we have a significant surplus that is going to be able to be used to continue the ministry and advance the kingdom of God. So I want to say, I give God praise and glory for His faithfulness through you, through your obedience and giving to the Lord. And as you're going to see in a few moments, that giving has made an major impact in the lives of people here and around the world. Let me talk about missions next. Our giving toward missions this past year was $444,000. That means that through the budget, a percentage goes out for missions locally and beyond, and also your designated giving. A tremendous sacrifice on your part to give toward missions. Well, why is that money being used? Let's start with Belarus. Dima Lazuta, who has been here, is a pastor in Minsk, and he's the leader of a church planting network. Our church is supporting him to finish his PhD. We feel like that is very important because as God has put on his heart, not only does he feel led to be a local pastor, to start churches in Minsk, also in other countries surrounding, but he feels like that God is leading him to acquire this PhD to help lead seminary students as they're training to be church planters, to really give them the education that they need. We believe this is a great investment that will reap spiritual dividends for generations to come because of how God has gifted him uniquely at this time to be able to lead in this way. We also are able to help as a church. In fact, I'll say that a particular individual in our church heard of this need about what's going on there in Belarus, and he's able to provide money to help with the music ministry of Dima's church with some equipment that they need, but also as they themselves are training other pastors who are musicians, leading their churches in worship, and developing them. It's a great investment. Another individual is helping with a physical building that is being constructed in Minsk. We are seeing God move in very significant and practical ways. Our church is also providing a student pastor for Dima in his church. He said that they have now about 20 to 25 students, kids that your age, that are now attending the church, and they need leadership in that area. They feel like that is a great outreach opportunity of reaching young people for Christ. And so it's a massive investment on our part. $200 a month is all that is needed to secure a student pastor. You know, things are different there than they are here. And so a little bit of money goes a long way in having a major impact for those that need the Lord and need development in their walk with the Lord. So we're very excited about that. But one of the church plants, we directly support three church planters in Belarus, primarily in Minsk. One is outside in another part of the country. We're right now developing and getting ready to support another church planter. But one of the church planters, his name is Vladimir, and he is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and God has led him to start a church. And he calls it God's School. That's the name of the church. He says, if I call it church, there are going to be those who will be resistant to that. And so during the weekday, on an evening, he'll have conference, a six-week conference for people who want to improve their marriage. I'm shocked and amazed how many non-Christians go to this, because there's a great need for help with marriages in Belarus, and they show up. And then he has one on parenting, a class on parenting. And so he has these 6 weeks at a time, several times through the year, and then he invites them to come to worship on Sunday. They show up. And here's two testimonies I want to give you of those who've been a recipient of what has happened through this experience. Let me tell you first of all about Anastasia. I come to church because I want to live with God in my soul. I want to develop my spiritual sphere and with God change myself for the better. I want to pray, feel connected with God, sing for Him and give thanks. I want to live a real life, build a normal relationship with my husband, learn to forgive and love in a mature way. To do this, I study the Bible in church. This is much clearer than doing it by myself. It is important for me to understand the meaning of what is written in the Bible and then implement it in my life, in practice. It is important for me to learn how to act correctly and actually act in general and not just study and understand. I found a progressive environment in the church, always so warm, kind, supportive, and wise. Together with these people, I can and want to serve God. Here's one from Ina. My way to church was really difficult. I had patterns and prohibitions in my head formed by society and my social environment. I did not understand what the church could give me and avoided it. I thought that I could talk with God without church, but I came to church thanks to the communication and special words that were said at the right time, at the right moment. When we began to study the gospel, I realized that I might be late and the doors would close. I got the feeling that I will not make it in time. Finally, I got the chance that can lead to real life. Now I go to church because it makes me happy. For me, the church has already become a family. The church members understand me. There is always a friendly atmosphere, the study of God's Word. I also have an understanding of the truth. That is exactly what I was looking for. There is something inexplicably familiar to me in this church. It is God who is at work. As a result, my life changed. I'm happy now. My relationship with my daughter has changed for the better. I see a goal in life and a path that will lead me to it. I thank God that I have received my sight. I want to be baptized. I want spiritual development. I want to become a deep person. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. What great testimonies. And listen, you can rejoice and praise God that you've had a part of that. That your giving on a regular basis to the tithes and the offerings of this church are going for this purpose of seeing people come to know Christ and grow in their faith. So many more that I received that I could share with you, but I don't have time. In Canada, we find that that country is reopening and that we have opportunities to go back this coming year. Also, we have new church plants that we're partnering with. Danny Morris is in Spokane, Washington. We're beginning to partner with him. Josh Lawling went to SEMO, came here and was part of our college ministry, graduated, and God has called him to be a church planter in Champaign, Illinois. Yes, they really need the gospel in Illinois. So we want to make sure that we get it there and get it there in Champaign. And so Josh feels led. God bless him, and we're going to help support him. I want to talk about some local ministries of what God is doing. Last Sunday was Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I was going to speak refer to this in the State of Church message, but yesterday was actually the anniversary of Roe versus Wade. And since that happened back in 1974, I believe it was, that over 60 million babies have been aborted. 60 million. And we have a local ministry that's trying to make a difference, and you're supporting that. Let me tell you what's happened. This past year, 686 clients visited the center. Not all of these were pregnancies that were in crisis, but these were those who came. 195 came to be a part of a 6-week parenting discipleship class. And so not only are they learning how to be a parent, but how to grow in the Lord, understand the Lord. They distributed 23,000 diapers this past year. Now think about that, 23,000 diapers. Now some of you can relate to this, but for 12 years, my kids were in diapers. And when that last one finally got potty trained, I got a pay raise. right there. And so you understand that. But they're, listen, the point is there are families in need, and that is a crisis for them. So they come, and they're able to provide that for them. But here's the good news. Since 2014, 112 women have chosen life, four in the last month. Now think about it. Amen. Amen. Give God glory. Amen. Your giving is making a major difference. You're saving lives, literally. Let's talk about Care Portal. For those who are new to our church, Care Portal is a media platform. And what that means is that we are partnering, this local church, other churches are partnering with the Division of Children's Services. And what we do is they are trying to keep families intact, keep children in the home. They have so many requests, they can't keep up, and so few volunteers. So this is something that has been created where there's a link between the need and the church. And the church provides the need and hopefully builds a relationship so that we can help them come to know Christ and assimilate them into the life of the church. And our church has been very active in this ministry. Several people who have been involved in it on several different levels, Nikki White being one major person who is leading that, and we're so grateful for that. This past year we had 135 requests. Our church alone met 121 of those. 273 children were served. It had an economic impact of $112,658. Here's what one team from our church did in 1 week, just 3 weeks ago, and I believe it's a life group class. That team is a life group class. And this came from Nikki. We have given a single working mom a car so she can help, so she can keep her job. Through this, she has been able to gain momentum by getting more hours at work and has been accepted for housing. She'll be moving into her own home for the first time on January 11th. Offered respite for the week for a foster mom so she can keep working while her babysitter is out sick. Paid rent and utilities for a single mom so she can provide for her kids so that her family can stay intact. Provided items for families that are struggling at Nell Holcomb School. We continue to partner with the public school so we can be proactive in meeting needs before Children's Division gets involved. Provided beds for two children. We have plans to provide beds and bedding for two more this week. Helped a teen mom plan for child care so she can return to work and school. We are mentoring her as well for parenting and life skills. A team member is providing a home for a youth that is aging out of care. She also received a car from Care Portal. She is getting advice on budgeting and life skills every day. She is also now getting medical and mental health treatment. Most importantly, she is getting to experience life in a peaceful home with people that love each other and the Lord. She sees love, kindness, and forgiveness being shared with her every day. She's been very interested in asking questions about the Lord, and the conversations that we have had with her have pointed her to Jesus in a way she's never experienced before. Seeds are being planted that hopefully she will carry through her whole life. We're investing a lot of money in this ministry. You see the result. 1 week by one team in our church. And this is happening every week. So again, I give God glory for what you're doing, not just financially, but personally being involved in helping provide for these needs. But we have a specific need of one individual in our church where I'm asking the church to step up and to help. And I'm going to trust God that He will speak to your heart about this. Many of you know Kevin Coffey, our pastor of discipleship here at our church. His wife, Karen, has had a genetic kidney disease since birth. And she has what's called polycystic kidney disease. Just this past week, she's been given a green light from Mayo Clinic to have a kidney transplant. And so it is time now for a donor match. And I'm asking you to pray about whether or not God is leading you to be that donor for her. And if you're interested in doing that, you can call Kevin or Karen. But also out in the foyer, we have envelopes if you want to remain anonymous or know more information. That you can go there. There's an envelope. It has the details of how you go through the process, what is required. And then if God leads you to do that, you'll want to contact them. So we're going to be praying for Karen today, obviously. We're very grateful. They're very excited. They're thrilled beyond measure, as I spoke with Kevin this morning personally about it. And so you pray about that, and we'll see what God does. Missions is far away, but it's right here. And it gets down to one person that needs help, whether it is from a very practical need or of the Lord. Let me also mention that next week, next Sunday, we want to have a big reveal of the mission trips that we're going on. Out in the foyer just recently, we have new TVs, screens that are in this hallway right by the coffee area that are highlighting what we're doing in missions. We feel like we need to do more and more to help you know what God is doing through you in missions and opportunities for you to serve. And every Sunday you can come, you'll be able to see what those ministries are. In our worship ministry, we have this worship upgrade. I thank God for Gabe and others who have been involved in this. And it looks beautiful. We have so many comments from people outside our church who love what has happened. The good news is that because of your faithful giving, the surplus money that has been given over the years, that we were able to do this cash, and that we anticipate will come 10 to 15% under budget, what we had approved, what the church approved to do, and we're very grateful. We've had our first Catalyst event this past year. The goal was to try to get people back momentum. Let's get back in the groove of going to church, and also to move people, use it as a platform to move people into discipleship, which I'll speak to in just a moment. Every year, our church, along with LaCroix and Cape First, we rotate around hosting the National Day of Prayer service. It will be, again, May the 5th, but we're hosting that. And I'm going to ask all of our church members, if at all possible, it's in the evening after work, I want you to come. Look, the church needs to come together. The body of Christ needs to come together. We need to pray for our community, for our government, for what's going on. It's a critical time in our nation. We need prayer. And that's where the power is and where the victory is. We need God to move in a dramatic way. And it begins with His people. It begins with His people. So I'm going to ask you to come and to pray. May the 5th. I want to talk about staff development. Pastor Hayes Howell has been leading us as a staff, and he is helping develop our staff. And we started something new called Lunch and Learn. We're inviting those in the community to come and speak to certain skill sets that will help develop the staff, as well as zooming in those who are outside our community to also help, not just from a practical standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint, growing in our faith and being the best that we can be, equipping us to be the best that we can be to serve you faithfully. So once a month we do this, and we're very excited about that. Also, our staff is regularly attending conferences. We don't do that a lot because we have work here to do. But this last year, a few of them attended a conference, and when they came back and said, really, our whole staff needs to attend this, and we anticipate doing that this next year. But again, we're trying to grow in our development so that we can better serve you. Also, concerning staff, we're so excited to have Nick Dixon with us as a new staff member leading our children's ministry. Well, what are some of the needs that we're anticipating? From a 30,000-foot view, I've encouraged our staff recently that we've got to stay ahead of the ball game. I was part of a church several years ago where we got behind the eight ball, and it affected our ministries for several years. And it took us a long time to regain momentum. And so we need to stay ahead. We don't want to get behind the eight ball. We don't want to play catch-up. Also, we're really increasing our focus on new people, on evangelism. We've had people come back to church, but through COVID, I don't know what's happened, but we see many new people coming to our church, and we praise God for that. Some that have not been in church for a while, some who are visiting us from other churches, but the Lord is bringing people here. One man joined this morning as a result of that, and so that's where our focus will be. I'm asking the church to pray for spiritual power to know and execute God's will. And you'll understand why in a moment. Let's talk about Linwood Christian Academy quickly. We had a great year. We're delighted to have Pastor Ben Rhodes, who is our headmaster, who's serving us. And last year, at the end of last year, we had 43 students enrolled. Today we have 81. Now that's about, 6 months, 7 months that we've seen from 43 to 81. We anticipate continued growth. Thursday night, we have a vision night. If you have any desire to know more about our school as a family, we invite you to come. We're discounting the enrollment fee for you if you sign up that night. If you're not planning to enroll, you just want to come for information, you need to come. We'll have time for you to ask questions, tour the facility to see where the classes are. In February, we'll open it up to the church, and then March, we'll open that up to the community. Also, we're going to have an auction banquet Friday, April the 8th. David Limbaugh will be the speaker. And this is a fundraising event. It's a great time. It's a great time to have the school together, have friends of the school come together. You may not be associated with the school personally, but you value what we're doing, and we want to invite you as a church to come to that. And it's a way that you can participate in what God is doing through the school. But here's where the main point is today, where I want to drop an anchor. That we believe, leadership of your church believes, that we're at a point of expanding our facilities. And let me explain why. We need a large multi-purpose room to begin with. We're using our fellowship hall more and more for several reasons. The school is using it for lunch and activities. Those activities begin in the morning at 8:15 when the kids show up for school. They come in and out for lunch and for other activities throughout the day. And so it's being used a lot more now. Our Access Ministry, a ministry for special needs, those with special needs, they're growing out of space. They need intentionally designed space. We have a big room, and it's good for them now, but they've grown to the point where they need more room. We don't have a bigger room. And we believe that this is a great outreach opportunity for families in reaching them to help them, but also reach them for Christ. We have funeral meals in there. It's a ministry of our church. That after a funeral, we have lay people who make a meal so families can gather together and continue their grief and their fellowship with each other. It's a great ministry. I thank God for those who do that. It just makes a major difference in helping families at that time. But we have a lot of funerals. And when those happen, it disrupts what we're doing with the students. We have to move people around to the youth room and all the rest. So we can do that, but it's becoming more difficult with the school growing in enrollment. Our Forerunners ministry meets in there once a month for a meal and other activities. It's being used by them. We have other training events that we use, and at times we need a larger, more functional room. So what's happening is the amount of usage and size of the room is limiting what we're able to do and the quality of that experience. And so I'm asking you to really pray about this. Also, we also need more room for adult life group classes. That means that with the future expansion, we can move classes around that will help create more classes for Sunday morning adult life group classes. We feel like we need to grow as our church grows. We need more classes. We have home groups, and we're going to continue doing that. But many people still want, because of child care and child ministries, they want that on Sunday morning. With that, I need to talk about the growth of Linwood Christian Academy. They need a gym. They need dedicated space for their activities, for sporting events. We created a volleyball team and a basketball team this year. So sports is now becoming more and more a part of our school, which is attracting families to our school. And so we need it for that. So the gym and a large room is going to help the church and the school. We need more classroom space. We know that we can max out at about 125 students. We have 81. We believe in a year or two at most that we'll max out. And we, you know, not everybody comes equally among the classes. You can't divide them equally. And so we need to provide growth for school. I really believe that God is going to bring families to our church because of what's going on in our culture and our society. That families want to educate their children with a biblical worldview, strong academics, that they're prepared to become champions for Christ. And so we feel like that more and more families are going to, we've already seen it. And, I don't have time to get into all that either. All right, let me move on. The school needs office space. Hey, we have him in our prayer room. His office is in our prayer room. It's his fault. We have no place to pray in the church. No, I'm kidding. You can pray anywhere, anytime, right? But that's true. He's in the prayer room. And so it's not really good space for the school, for the leadership of our school. And we see that expanding. Other skilled individuals who will be employed to help with the school needs that are coming. So we also need a functional foyer. We have a nice foyer, but we need a more intentional foyer. We need a larger foyer that will help us with other things that we can do, receptions and other things, movement of people, and really provide a functional way that helps people move through the facility. We also need more storage. We hear about that all the time. So with that, the Deacon Council is recommending to our church a ad hoc building committee. We've put that group together, and so they are going to begin their work. Mark Strickland is going to be a chair of that committee. He's in this industry. He understands this world. And there are others who we've asked to serve alongside with him. And they're going to be professionally assessing the needs that we have of the church and school, what's the best way to provide space, how and when that happens, the type of construction and all the rest, how it's laid out on the property, parking, all the rest. And then they're going to bring a formal recommendation to the church of what they believe we need to do. And that will be a joint recommendation with the school board as well as the Deacon Council and the building committee. And then the finance committee will and the Deacon Council will help us understand how we're going to pay for that. So it'll be a joint venture. Very excited about it, but three things quickly. It requires a step of faith. Big step of faith. For those who are guests, we're out of debt. We don't have any debt, haven't for 12 years. So God has positioned us financially. We feel like we've got momentum. We feel like the Lord is working in our church, that the church is growing in numbers. More people are coming back. New people are coming. The school's growing. We don't want to get behind the eight ball. So we feel like we need to be in the right position. It takes real faith, but it takes the right position for the future, and it will reap eternal fruits. Listen, this happens every day in your life and in my life. I don't care what the issue is. You're given a set of facts. And you got to deal with those facts. Facts don't lie. Now, you can ignore the facts or try to change the facts, but facts don't lie. And I'm giving you the facts of where we are. And so you try to do the best you know to do with the facts that you have with God leading you and taking that step of faith. And I believe that if your heart is right and your motives are pure, you're not going to make a mistake. That God loves you so much that if you take a step here but need to go here, God will take you there lovingly. And that's what I believe about what we're doing right now. We've taken these steps, what we believe is God's will for our church and for our school, and based on the facts that we've been given, that we believe this is what we need to do. God's people, given the facts, will do the right thing the right way. And I really believe that about you, that if we give you the facts, you'll do the right thing the right way. Now, all that's free. Now I'm going to preach the sermon, all right? Luke chapter 14, I'm going to do this very quickly, but it gives context to what I'm talking about. And it really helps you understand what we're trying to do here, and that is to create spiritually mature Christians. Bill Hybels, the pastor of Willow Creek Church several years ago, stood in his pulpit and said to his church, "We made a mistake." They did a church survey. And they found that those who were coming to their church over 10 years were not growing in their faith through the indications of that survey. And he said it was troubling news, startling news, alarming news, something we now regret. People who were attending church but were not committed followers of Jesus Christ. Dallas Willard said this: "The leading assumption in the American church today is that you can be a Christian but not a disciple. We assume you can be a Christian but not a disciple of Jesus Christ." Now here at our church, we're trying to bring a balance of evangelism, leading people to Christ, and discipleship, growing them in the faith. And we are going to become more intentional in doing those two things, reaching people for Christ and growing them, having them become disciples of Christ. And so we want to do that through life groups on Sunday and in home groups. Our Wednesday night midweek groups, where we have men's and women's groups that you can come to. And out of that, the spinoff, our discipleship groups. Also, next steps. In the foyer, we're creating the room. Sign's going to get ready to come up. Furniture is coming. It's already been ordered. And the floor will be carpeted there. You'll go in and you'll be able to know and talk with somebody, how do I take my next step in my journey of faith? We're also going to have a church app that will help you with that as well. Now, why is this important? Because of the current state of the church at large. Because of all the rhetoric in pastoral, theological, and denominational circles, which I'm a part of, because of the confusion of what the church is supposed to be doing. Now, what are we supposed to be doing? Making disciples. Jesus told us that in the Great Commission. Go into all the world and make disciples. That means share the gospel and disciple them in the faith. Paul said it like this in Colossians 1. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That was what Paul was trying to do in his ministry and through the churches. And that's what we want to do through this church, is to create mature Christians who are following Christ. C.S. Lewis said this in Mere Christianity. This is a great quote, and man, is it relevant for today. Listen, the state, the government, exists simply to promote and protect the ordinary happiness of human beings in this life. And unless they are helping to increase and prolong and protect such movements or moments, all the laws, parliaments, armies, courts, police, economics, etc. are simply a waste of time. Hello? In the same way, the church exists for nothing else but to draw men into Christ, to make them little Christ. If they are not doing that, all the cathedrals, clergy, missions, sermons, even the Bible itself are simply a waste of time. God became man for no other purpose. We can come to you and say, we need to build a building. But if that is not being used to develop spiritually mature champions for Christ, for believers in Christ, for adults in Christ, we're wasting our time, wasting our money doing that. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help you be a little Christ and help your children be a little Christ. Be champions for Christ. Whatever endeavor God leads them to do, they're doing that as a committed follower of Jesus Christ. Now, how do you do that? This is what Jesus said in Luke 14. Now, great crowds were traveling with him. So he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, wanting to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, after he has laid the foundation and cannot finish it, all the onlookers will begin to make fun of him, saying, this man started to build and wasn't able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king will not first sit down and decide if he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If not, while the other is still far off, he sends a delegation and asks them for terms of peace. Here's the third way. In the same way, therefore, if every one of you who does not say goodbye to all his possessions cannot be my disciples. Now, what is Jesus saying there? How do we become a mature follower of Christ? First is desire. Notice verse 25, the great crowds were traveling with him. But Jesus says, you must be my disciple. You see, he's saying there's a difference between following him, that means knowing about him, and being a follower, a disciple of Christ. There's nothing wrong with the crowd, but that's not what it's about. There's nothing wrong with you being in the crowd today. Glad you're here. But that's not what this is about. It's about you becoming a committed follower of Christ, a disciple of Christ. They want to follow Christ and be like his disciples. That's why he turned around and made sure they understand. You need to know what you're getting into here. You need to know what this is all about. Now, how is desire created? Well, usually I see somebody do something, or they act a certain way, and I want that. I want to be like that. Now, you know, if we go too far, we covet. We don't want to do that. But we see that we desire that, okay? And so we see somebody else who is a mature disciple of Christ. We want to become like that. So we want to be mature followers of Christ. See, they were seeing Christ, and they wanted to be like him. They wanted to be a disciple of Christ. Well, he explains to them, now this is what that means, if this is what you want. And so there has to be a desire. And pray that God will give you that desire to be a committed follower of Christ. You need to be able to say, I want that. I need that in my life. Secondly, you have to make a decision. Verse 28, you got to calculate the cost. Verse 31, you have to decide. You have to realize what it really takes to be spiritually mature Christian. If not, you'll become discouraged, disillusioned, and defeated. You have to count the cost. Perseverance. In order to persevere, you have to count the cost beforehand, not after. It's too late. So I have to really think, if I want to endure to the end, what is it going to take? It boils down to two different questions. First, can I afford to follow him? Second, can I afford not to follow him? I don't know about you, there's too much at stake not to follow Christ. You have to make the decision that you'll change. Notice third, there has to be dedication. In verses 26 through 30, he gives you three steps for full surrender. For first is concerning people. He says in verse 26, you have to hate all these people. Now the word hate means something different today than it did then. He's talking about loyalty. He has to be a priority of your life, first of everything. Second, a full surrender concerning you personally. Verse 27 talks about taking up your cross, denying self. And third, your possessions. Being willing to sacrifice. Does that mean I'm supposed to go out, preacher, and sell everything I have? No, it doesn't mean that. He means that that's the attitude of your heart. I'm willing to sacrifice whatever God would require of me to be a committed follower of Christ. Jesus is desiring from us absolute loyalty, a willingness and practice to sacrifice everything for him. That is a disciple of Christ, a spiritually mature Christian. Now, why is this important? And why this in 2022? The only way you're going to make it and keep your sanity is by abiding in Christ and abiding in his word. So we have to really put the throttle down on making that happen. And we're trying to do all we know to do to facilitate that in your Christian life. And when others see that, they're going to have a desire to know and follow Christ. Now, this last week has been a very interesting week for me in my life personally. I don't have time to get into it, but I want to tell you this for sure. I've experienced God at a whole new level. I'm not being mystical, and I'm not speaking words that mean nothing. I'm dead serious. I have experienced God at a whole new level, that God is real in my life. Very specifically, how he revealed himself. I want that to happen for our church this coming year. I want our church to experience God at a whole new level. Because this week I was able to say when it was all over, but God. But God. And we as a church, you know, sometimes we can do things in the flesh. I don't want that. I want to be able to say, but God. And as we cast this vision, as we take this step of sacrifice, of moving forward and expanding our facilities, I want to be able to say, but God. That we experience about a whole new level. But I want that for you personally. I want you to be able to say this coming year that there'll be a moment in your life where you're able to say, I experienced God at a whole new level. He wants to do that in your life personally. And so with that, I want us to pray. I want you to bow your heads for just a moment. There might be somebody here today who would say, Pastor, I don't know God. I need to experience him. And the way that you do that is to give your heart to Christ. And so if you desire to do that today, I want to invite you to come to one of our pastors and do that. There might be others who know the Lord, but you're struggling. And you need to experience God at a whole new level with what you're dealing with. And I want to ask you to give that to the Lord, to trust him, and to see what he can do. You've tried. Now it's time to give it to him. Also, there might be those that God is leading you to become part of our church family. To be a part of what God is doing here. You've heard it all today. There's so much more. There are other ministries I don't have time to talk about. God is growing. Our young professionals, our Footprints ministry is growing. God is blessing it, attracting families to our church. Other types of ministries all throughout. Children's ministry, student ministries. God is blessing in many ways. But if you want to be a part of what the Lord is doing, I invite you to come. Also, there might be those who just need to come and pray here quietly at the front, at the altar. There might be those that need prayer. There's a burden on your heart. You need someone to pray for you. I want you to come. Father, thank you for speaking to our hearts today. Lord, I pray that we'll take that step of faith and obedience right now. In Jesus' name, amen. It's quiet.